Good morning and welcome this morning. Now, Ian and Elizabeth are away for the long weekend, so it's another chance for the youth and young adults to take over. This morning's really a compilation of some of the new music we've been playing at nights and some of the stuff that we do. So it's a bit of a celebration of some things old and some things new. So we warmly invite you to participate and enjoy this morning's service. Let us open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can come here and be in your presence and be in the presence of our family and friends, our Lord. Lord, we just ask that you open our hearts and minds to something afresh from you this morning, whether it's from music, children's word, fellowship afterwards, or the message there, Lord. Lord, we open this time up and dedicate this time to you. In your mighty and wonderful name, amen. So we're going to sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us. So let us stand and join. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the things that you give us each and every day. The stuff that we can see, the stuff that we don't see, dear Lord. Lord, we give back to you our gifts, our time, our money and our talents, dear Lord. Encourage us and inspire us to do so. We do these things in your mighty and wonderful name. Amen. So I'm going to invite Matthew up here to pray for us.
Now, something we've been doing in our youth and young adults definition service at night is we've been encouraging different people to get up and lead us in prayer. So we're trying to integrate prayer a lot more into our definition series. And it's been really good to see the different ways in which people have taken it. Whenever we get someone new to lead it, they lead it in a new and different way. In the same way that that happens here in the morning, depending on who's leading the prayers of the people, you'll get it in a different format, which I think is great. It shows us that there's lots of different ways in which we can communicate with God. And it's such a great thing that we can communicate with God because there's something powerful that happens when we pray for ourselves and we pray for others as well. So we're going to pray now. And then after I finish the prayer, we're going to show just a quick clip as well. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your ongoing love. We thank you that you sent your Son into this world to live the life we couldn't live and to die the death we should have died. Everything that we have is a gift from you, and we pray that you'll continue to work powerfully in and through us. We pray for everything that's going on in our world. We thank you that you are sovereign over all circumstances, and even when things don't make sense to us, they make sense to you. We thank you that you're not like an ambulance driver rocking up after an accident occurs trying to put things back together, but that you are with us through the trials and the pains in this world. We want to confess to you all the times that we've fallen short. We thank you that there is no condemnation for us who believe in your name, and that when we go and do things that we know are against your will, that you convict us because you want us to have life and have it to the full. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you that your word, God, is the force of power in this world, that it's your revealed will to us. And so what I want all of us here today to do is to pray that pray for ourselves that God will teach us something today. Now, if you will, I'd like you to take a moment to pray for those who are either side of you, that God would reveal himself to them in some way today. And let's take a moment to pray for Chris as well, that he will speak powerfully and with the full strength empowered by the Holy Spirit. God, above all things, we pray that our desire for you will be stronger than any other desire we might have. We know that you are most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in you. So let us not seek ultimate satisfaction away from you. We thank you that you hear our prayers and that your compassions are new every single day. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you. one thing have I asked of the Lord. What's the one thing you keep asking of the Lord? If I could read a transcript of your prayers for the last few weeks, what would I see as the one thing that you just keep asking for? Would it be, God, just let me dwell in the house of your Lord all the days of my life. Let me just gaze upon your beauty and inquire in your temple. Just meditate in your temple. Let me just gaze upon your beauty. God, it's you. Is that what your transcripts would say to me? I mean, it's simplistic, isn't it? He just says, God, I just need to be with you and everything will be fine. It's simplistic, but do you see the obviousness in it? Like, well, of course. If I believe that there is only one sovereign being, the only ruler, the only sovereign, then isn't it obvious that as long as I am close with him, abiding in him, that's all I really need to do? The fruit will come, the protection will come, everything else will happen. It's obvious. I want to just gaze upon you and just go, I'm in love with Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ is in love with me right now. I mean, the God of the universe. I mean, isn't it just the most amazing thing when he answers prayer and you just think, I just spoke to God. God just listened to me and he answered me. Is there anything better than that on this earth? Man, what's better than that? Like I, this little human, this little screw up, this one that doesn't even pray as hard as the other guys, the one that doesn't know as much theology as some of these guys. I'm trying everything else, but I fail and I fail and I fail. But then, God, you heard me. You listened to me. You love me. That's the one thing I ask for that I will seek after. I'm just going to ask for it. I'm going to pursue this. I'm going to go after this. God, here's this one thing. It's just that I would dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple.
I want to start off this morning's message by showing a few videos of what technology might have been like and like. So I could get James to show these two advertisements from the 80s.
The business person who deals with higher volumes of information needs answers fast. And just when you think you've got solutions, more work piles up. So you run back and forth and back again, searching high and low for a way to get on top of things. That's why IBM created the personal computer AT. With the power to push high performance even higher. With the AT, fast becomes faster. The capacity to handle data becomes greater. And the power that serves one person becomes a powerhouse that serves the needs of many, networking with other PCs in your office. Pretty advanced stuff. But to IBM, it's all in a day's work. The IBM Personal Computer AT, for the power of advanced technology. See it at a store near you or call your IBM representative.
Go where you wanna go, call when you wanna call.
Get the lowest price ever at Radio Shack on the most powerful transportable cellular phone system. Just $7.99 when you sign up with Radio Shack's authorized cellular phone carrier.
Go where you wanna go.
There's nothing else to buy and it's ready to go wherever you go.
Call when you wanna call.
In your car or go portable and take it along. Radio Shack's complete transportable cellular phone system, just $7.99 only at Radio Shack, the technology store.
So, did anyone have a computer or a phone like that? I think computers might have been, but they were invented. The first cellular phone was available in 1979, and as I said, those commercials were out from the 80s. But how fast has technology come along? How fast has it come along? I mean, you can just imagine, I mean, the telephone ad there, the fact that you had to have like a handset and plus a little box and that was portable and you'd be carrying it around like I don't know how heavy it was, but you can just imagine the sore shoulder you would get from after the day of wearing it and it's just amazing how far technology has come. Now, I got my first mobile phone in the 1990s. And back in my day, I can say that now because I'm a mature father. I can say back in my day, the only thing the phone could do was four things. You could call someone, you could text someone, you could use it as a calculator in maths, and you could play Snake on it. Now, those were the only four things that you could do on it. But nowadays, you can do anything on it. You can virtually run your whole life off your mobile phone. There's been experiments over in the UK when they had a month they couldn't leave their house, how they could survive just by using their mobile phone. And they could do it. It was easily done because they could order everything. They could go to Coles and order what they wanted, have it home delivered, even have entertainment at your fingertips, and anything else that you wanted at your fingertips, so you could know what you could do. And so, no matter what you want, virtually you can have it in your phone. I mean, even the church has nowadays come online, and even NRUC has come along that way. But we've got our own app now, that the www.nruc.org.au/app, is that right? Yeah. So if you have got your own personal smartphone, get the church app, because you can listen and even watch some of the sermons online. And it's got your own Bible there. And so nowadays, you can virtually do almost anything online with your phone. And so a real-life situation happened to me towards the end of last year. I was at school, I was working as you usually do, and a friend said, oh, there's this show on tonight. He was a Year 12 student, he was a budding magician like I am, and he said, there's a magic show on tonight. And I said, oh, look, you know, I can't go, but we've got some tickets, so we've organised it, would you like to go? I said, hey, yeah, that'd be great. And so the first thing I had to do was the most important thing, was call my wife and say, hey, can you look after the kids tonight? She said, yes, that's okay. But then I was able to text friends and ask if they wanted to go. I was able to look at my GPS phone to see where I had to go. I was able to look up different restaurants around the place. Even now, one of those apps called Eat Now, where you can order online. So you can go to the show or go to the place where you're at the show, and one of the restaurants nearby have the food waiting for you. We had a couple of friends go with us, and so we ordered this thing online, went to the local park, ate our dinner, picked up our tickets from our phone, and then watched the show. Whereas 50 years ago, you couldn't do that at all. And see, technology is supposed to be a good thing. Most of the time, it is good. But sometimes, it can be bad as well. Technology was made to make our life easier. But there's a dark side to all of this as well. I'll take you back 50 years ago. The workday usually was 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. When 5 p.m. came around from work, you would stop, you would relax, and turn off. You might get the odd phone call, you might have a catch up with friends here and there, but you would stop and unwind most of the time. But nowadays, work happens whenever and wherever you are. Now, I know there are some people out there that answer telephone calls on the toilet seat. I'm not saying who does it, I'm not saying that, and I'm not going to put your hands up, but it's okay. Some people do that, some people take them in there. So no matter, every moment of your time can be taken away through technology. And so I'm forever, when I used to work at the hotel and people would check in about 11 o'clock, I would say, oh, off to bed now, or do you want a nightcap or something like that? And they would say, no, I've got to check my emails, I've got a conference call. And so people are jamming more time and more work into their days. See, even relaxing and entertainment can be jammed into it as well. Previously, if you missed your favourite TV show, you would miss it. You wouldn't be able to catch up. You'd be able to have to ask a friend. But now you can tape it. And now binge TV watching is a thing of is a current reality thing, where people would just not watch their favourite show, but then in a session watch 12 or 13 episodes of it. Now, I see some heads shaking at that sort of time. It's a reality that people of all ages, we often say it's just for young people that do this. But it's funny how many people would forgo watching their favourite show and then watch it all at once. See, I want a quick check of hands. How many of you guys would check your Facebook or emails after 8 p.m.? lot of this side over there. A lot of people do there. A lot of people just sheepishly putting their hand up. But I'd say about 60 to 70% of them put their hand up. Now, this is probably for the back corner of the band section. What about in the last half an hour? But this is for everyone as well. The last half an hour before they go to bed, would they check your emails or Facebook? Again, I would say about 40%, which is, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? It's kind of interesting about our society. Now, I have to admit that I do that too. Like, I would check my Facebook or check my email just before I go to bed. Now, I'm not saying it's a good thing. And most of the time, you know, it can be a bad thing, but it's nice. For some people, it does relax them or help them out. But you can imagine the state of mind it sometimes puts you in. If you've just read an email or you read a Facebook post about something bad, you think, oh, I have to respond to that or something like that. And working as a chaplain in a public school, you can imagine the hassle that that mobile phones get into regarding students. The fact that they always want to check up, the fear of missing out, the thought of not knowing what's going on. And so often I have students in my office saying, oh, I just didn't get a good night's sleep last night. And the first question I asked them, I said, well, what time did you go to bed? What time did you turn off your Facebook? What time was the last time you checked on your phone? And they would often say, oh, I take it to bed with me. Now, I use my phone as an alarm clock, but as well, I should get one of those old-fashioned ones, which rings and knows to just hit every now and again, because it's such a temptation to do that. See, technology is right at our fingertips, and we tend to use it all the time. And so social commentators and pastors have called our current lifestyles as hyper-living. We try and cram so much into every waking hour. A Harvard economist says that the average person will work 1 month longer this year than 20 years ago. We don't usually get paid for that. But we would work that extra time. Some of us would work more than that. Our lives have become so jam-packed, we sometimes forget the important things. Now, to have that in mind, that framework in mind, as we hear the lectionary reading that Kate is going to come up and read to us today.
Reading John chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. This is the word of the Lord.
See, when we usually talk about this text, we would base it upon Jesus looking upon Mary and encouraging her, while Judas would maybe look down at her. Or maybe we would focus on the fact that our value on things and our value on money and forecast towards Jesus' death. Because in it, he says that you will not always have with me. You'll not always have me with you. And it is a forecast of Jesus' death to Easter Sunday coming up. But I want to focus on something a little bit different this morning. I know all these things are important, but sometimes we can miss other messages as well. So let's dig deeper into the text. So this isn't the first time that Jesus has been at the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. In John chapter 11, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And in that chapter, it states that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. This is the only place in the Gospel of John where Jesus loves someone and mentions it by actual name. So there are plenty of important parts that these guys play, in the lives of Jesus. Some commentators say that their house was a home away from home for Jesus. And when we think about Mary and Martha, the other story that comes to our mind is the part where Martha is running around trying to clean everything up and Mary is positioned at her feet, which again is another beautiful story about time management. But back to this story. Jesus has come in. He's been welcomed by Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And they sit down. And we're not too sure how long it's been taking. But then Mary brings out an expensive bottle of perfume and sits at the feet of Jesus. Puts the perfume on his feet, washes it with her hair. And you can just smell the aromas in the air. You can almost see it happening. You can almost see the moment where Jesus and Mary are together. And if I saw that happening, I would have gone, oh, how good is this? Someone's spending time with Jesus. Someone's at the feet of Jesus. But Judas? No. Judas's ears and eyes prick up. He says, no, this is not happening. Judas says, why are you wasting this? It could be spent on the poor. Now, everyone else didn't know what was Judas. Judas was thinking about himself and wanting the money to himself. But no one else knew that. But they still heard Judas say, hey, you're wasting your time and money here. Spend it on the poor. That could be used to buy lots of food, like buy housing. I almost think that Judas could be saying that to us. They'll say, hey, look, you know, he could be saying it to Mary to say, hey, you could be doing anything with this. There's much more important things to be spent doing on Jesus. Jesus talks about going out and feeding the poor. You could be doing that right now with his perfume. Jesus talks about helping other people, spending time with the Gentiles. You could do that right now instead of being at Jesus' feet. Not only are you wasting money, but you're wasting time as well. But Jesus stops Judas there. Jesus turns to Judas and the rest of the people there and says, you will always have those things, but she is right to do it with me right now. It's almost like to me, he's saying, you will always have those things in your life. There'll always be ministry, there will always be things to do, but hey, sometimes stop and sit with me. Sometimes we need to take a break and pause and reflect with Jesus. We need to be like Mary and spend time at the feet of Jesus. See, sometimes this can be frowned upon in our hyper lifestyle. There are lots of myths out there regarding our hyper lives, and I want to touch on a few of them now. And I'll just put the, you know, there. But the first one is that busy equals importance. We think when we're actually busy, we're really living, but actually being overly busy cuts us off from the time that we spend cultivating the relationships with our family and friends, and ultimately with God. So we think that hurrying will buy us more time. As I said at the beginning, all this technology we have is supposed to create tons of time, but instead of enjoying it, we fill it up with more things to do. And there's a thing in our culture that downtime is wasted. We are made to feel guilty if we aren't constantly doing something. And that's even serving in ministry. But God instituted the Sabbath in the system for a reason. And the scripture is full of places where it mentions God's rest and Jesus rested. See, this is our hyper lifestyle speaking to us. But we need to take time out of our lives and spend that at Jesus' feet every now and again. Now, I'm definitely not saying that we should stop doing everything we do and stop doing our ministry and saying, okay, let's all have together here. But it's got to be a balance. Sometimes we think in our lives that we have to be doing this sort of stuff. We have to be doing stuff all the time. And sometimes in church circles, it's hard to say no to people. And so sometimes in our lives, we need to stop and pause and spend the time with God. Jesus says to Judas, there will always be things to do, but spend time with me first. Jesus is instigating that we take time out of his life, out of our life, spend it at his foot. See, it needs to be a conscious effort. It needs to be something we do all the time. If we think, oh, no, we'll do it tomorrow, or we'll do it tomorrow morning or the next day, it always just keeps on snowballing and we never get to do it. There's a lovely story out of a woman with seven kids who didn't have time to sit down for a daily devotion. So what she would do was she would leave a few Bibles open in a few different rooms of the house. And so when she would come to do the cooking, a Bible would be open. She'd be able to pause and look at a Bible verse. When she went to do the ironing, she'd be able to look at the ironing and pause to look at a Bible verse. And the same with the children's beds and the like. But it takes a conscious effort to do that. We have to take some effort to do that. There are so many ways we can take out of our lives to take time with God. See, C.S. Lewis said, the moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists of shoving it all back, in listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting in that larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in. It's so easy in all of our lives to have things rushing at us. Whether it's work, whether it's family, whether it's church ministry life. But sometimes we have to sit at the feet of Jesus. We often forget about this. We need to put aside our hyper-living lifestyles. There are so many ways we can do it. Some people do it in the morning. Some people do it when they're driving. Some people do it at lunchtime. Some people do it before they go to bed. We need to analyze our own lives every now and again because sometimes it can be routine. Sometimes it can be just the thing we do in the morning without even thinking about. But sometimes we need to stop and analyze our own life and think, okay, when was the last time I truly gave up some of my time for God? To sit and pause and reflect with him. So I want to ask a challenge for you guys. Ask a challenge this week to sit down and think how you use your time. Let us just close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice. Your love for us, dear Lord. Lord, we just pray. In this lifestyle that we have got ourselves into, the society and culture have painted for us, going 110 miles an hour, dear Lord. Let us take note of Mary. Let us take note of how she spends time, this valuable thing called time, at your feet. That people all around us will say, hey, but you could be doing something else. Lord, remember, help us to remember that time with you is not wasted time. Lord, encourage us. See that where there is places in our lives where we can fit you into this week. Make it a conscious effort. We just pray these things in mighty, wonderful name. Amen. So let's close. Let us go forth through the knowledge that you are waiting for us to spend time with you. And Lord, let us encourage us to spend that time this week at your feet. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.